In this episode, we're going to talk with the sales lion, Marcus Sheridan, about how to use video and how to get buy-in from the big boss in your company that it's time for video marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What's up? What is up? All right. So I just got back from a vacation, which was like a mental priority for me to put myself back where it all began, back home on the beach in Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach, California, and just strolled in to do a really cool interview that you're going to hear in a moment with Marcus Sheridan. Now, check this out. Video, as you know, is the most powerful tool for educating prospects, right? But you can't easily get buy-in from a primary decision maker, right? It's a difficult task. So what I wanted to do was spend a few moments with Marcus Sheridan, the sales lion. And for more information, you can go to thesaleslion.com to learn about Marcus. But he is right in line with the Wirebuzz Todd Hartley philosophy of how you use your content to pull your target prospect through the buyer's journey so they buy at faster rates, right? And along that path, there's always going to be a situation where the internal marketing person gets it. They're like, Todd, I know we need this, but my boss, he doesn't think video's that important. So how do you get buy-in, right? How do I explain to my boss that it's time for us to stop educating through text and printed material and start educating in a more convincing and compelling way? Well, in this conversation with Marcus Sheridan, we dig deep into that. Plus, I want you to spend a few moments analyzing what I thought was a rumor. But in this interview, I'm able to confirm. You see, Marcus, the rumor wasn't interested in taking on new clients unless they read his book, They Ask, You Answer, right? And at first glance, I thought that might be a bit cocky, right? Like, how do you turn down a prospect that wants to do business with you? But in this interview, you're going to understand the philosophy. He's going to explain it, why it's important in helping you as a business find the right customer, because not every customer is the perfect customer. And the sooner you get yourself to the perfect customer, then you're able to help them advance their business faster, right? And ultimately, as I'm hearing him say this in the interview, I'm thinking about Wirebuzz and how we do something similar. You know, we created a mini course that teaches our target customers how to guarantee their videos generate ROI, right? A return on investment. You're going to hear me talk about that in the interview. If you want to get access to that mini course, it is free to the listeners of this podcast, and you could get it at wirebuzz.com/ROI, all right? So sit back, listen to a great interview with the sales lion, Marcus Sheridan, and myself as we break down the power of content marketing, where it fits in an inbound philosophy, how you need to be answering your target customers' questions. Now, when it comes to a they ask, you answer philosophy, right? Which works for every one of our businesses. It's important you understand supply and demand. Supply and demand, when it works within a Google context or a early awareness stage context, is super powerful. If you know the questions that your target customer routinely asks, then you have an obligation to start answering those questions, and you do it on your website. Listeners of this podcast already know that if you write those questions out in text, people won't read it. Why? Because we're lazy. Reading is hard. Video is easy. Don't make a target customer work too hard to learn about your business. You got it? Make it easy. Turn it into a slip and slide. You want them to go all the way down, and the way you slip and slide them all the way down through your information so they can clearly and accurately evaluate your business is you use video, right? If Netflix taught us anything, if the last 70 years of television has taught us anything, people will sit to watch a video. They will be better educated. And at the end of it, they're looking to make a buying decision if you do it right. Few people explain it as well as Marcus Sheridan. Sit back and enjoy this interview. All right, and joining me right now is Marcus Sheridan. He's a digital marketer. He's a speaker. You'll see him on the Speakin' Tour. He's also the author of They Ask and You Answer. It's a revolutionary approach to inbound sales content marketing in today's digital customer. The Sales Lion's with me. Hey, Marcus, how are you, man?
Todd, it's great being with you today, bud. I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation. Love talking about this stuff, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Hey, Marcus, it's my pleasure. You know, you and I are on very similar paths. You know, we're both big believers in the philosophy of answer your target customer's questions. You should know those questions, and at your very core, make sure, because 70% of the buyer's journey is being had on websites before a person reaches out to the salesperson or a prospect reaches out to them. So you got to have all that information. Can you just take a couple steps back and give the audience the foundational underpinning in the you ask, I answer philosophy?
Well, you know, for me, it really started when I was getting ready to lose my swimming pool company that I started with the guys in 2001. And when the market crashed in 2008, I thought we were going to lose everything. And, you know, so much that I was going to lose my home, my partners were going to lose their homes, employees were going to lose their jobs. And so that's when I started to really dive into the internet. And I saw a lot of fancy phrases like inbound marketing, digital marketing, content marketing, blogging, social media marketing, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, really in my mind, because I got a simple tool guy brain, right? Just boiled it down to, okay, so what you're telling me is if I just, not just listen, but obsess over the questions that my customers and my potential customers have, and I'm willing to address those questions, fears, issues, worries, concerns on our website, well, then we just might save our business. Yep. That's really what it was.
Right?
And so that's the trail that we started, and it changed my life.
Okay, now I love it when your back's up against the wall and you have to defend yourself and fight your way to greater prosperity. You always go back to what you know, what is the core or the foundation or what you know is going to work. And when you did it, when push came to shove, you started answering questions and your career and your business's revenue changed dramatically. Talk to me about that, man.
Well, you know, what's funny is it's a very, you say answering your customer questions, that's obvious. That's a no-brainer. Believe it or not, in principle, it's obvious, but in practice, it's not at all. So let me give you an example. Just one little example of what I'm talking about. You know, when I was a pool guy, and today I'm just a silent partner for pools, but I'm still, you know, engaged in the sales and marketing efforts, overseeing some things. And when I was a pool guy, one of the first questions that people would ask me when they would call us is, they'd say something like, so Marcus, I'm not going to hold you to it, but give me a feel, like, what are we talking about here in terms of cost, right? And at that point in time, back in 2009, literally, I'm not kidding when I say this, there wasn't a pool company in the world that addressed the subjects of cost and price on their website. Nobody wanted to touch it because they didn't want to scare people away, or they didn't want to give away their secret sauce, or they said, well, every job is different, and so therefore it depends, and so nobody did it. And I said, of course we can do this. We should do this. And so we address how much does a fiberglass pool cost. And we explain the factors that drive the cost up and that drive it down. We explain the different types of packages that people choose and ranges as to what they might spend. We explain the marketplace and why some companies are cheap, why some are expensive, and what to look for there. We really addressed it well, but we couldn't specifically answer it. But we addressed it so well. And because we have advanced analytics, because we know definitively, like when a lead comes to our website, how they got there, what article, what page they landed on, I can tell you without equivocation that that one single article, Todd, since the day it was written in 2009, has generated over $3.5 million in sales. And it wouldn't have happened had we been the ostrich with our head in the sand and not been willing to talk about it, right? And so what's crazy is when I meet with audiences, still, audience, if I say, how many of you talk about cost and price on your website of your products and services, not including e-commerce companies, 10%. 10% of businesses are talking about the number one question that buyers have.
And Marcus,
and that's what's crazy, my man.
And you know what? You are spot on. In at the Wirebuzz site, we added pricing because we knew that that was an important question. If people didn't find it on our website, we'd create internal friction where they'd get irritated with us and then they'd bounce and go review a competitor. So we just laid the cards on the table, and we found that that transparency really correlated into a clearer understanding and people wanting to do business with us because we were straight shooters.
Well, that's the thing. You know, people say, well, I can't do this because if I do this, it might scare them away.
Right.
The reality, what scares us away is not knowing. So let me give you a really simple example of what I'm talking about. And anybody could probably relate to this. And that is, let's say you've gone to a restaurant before, right? You're looking at the menu. You wanted to get the lobster, but it said seasonal price next to the lobster. And because it said seasonal price, you didn't ask the server how much it was. And the reason why you didn't ask is because you knew if you did ask but didn't order it, it now made you look like you couldn't afford it. And so instead of looking bad, you just decide, I'm not going to even ask at all. And so no sale is made. It's crazy. Restaurants still do this with seasonal pricing, and businesses funnily do as well. I'm not saying here that we're all like restaurants and we should put a definitive price list
right
on our products and services, but I'm talking about this. We need time to explain the marketplace, educate people on how to buy our stuff, what makes it cheap, what makes it expensive, why are there variations. By doing this, we decommoditize the thing that we sell. You see, when we allow the marketplace to be ignorant, we're actually commoditizing the very thing that we sell.
Yep, I totally see that. And I'm particularly obsessed with making sure that I have all that information. I mean, I've got a similar perspective to the way you position things. And my career started with questions and answers because that's supply and demand. And I already know that my target customer is going to be there. And I've been watching, man. You've got a really interesting 48 hours with Marcus video on your website. Let's spend a few moments and talk about the journey that you're taking audiences on, why you selected video, and how that experience has better humanized you and helped you create deeper relationships with your target customer.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, I think video is the rising tide that is going to come up whether we move our lounge chairs or not.
Beautiful. You know what?
We better act.
You know what? I just sat on the beach for a week. This is my first moment back in the office. So I have such a crystal clear visual that I even had a Corona in my hand when you were saying that. So let's get this straight. So video marketing is the rising tide.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if you move your chair or not, it's going to happen.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so the question is, what are we going to do about it? They say there's some just amazing video stats out there right now. One of the really prevalent ones is they say by the year 2019, which is less than 20 months away at this point, 80% of the consumer content online is going to be video-based content. In other words, 80% of the learning that occurs in the buying process of something
has to be
will be done via video or visual experience. And so if you look at that, it's like, holy crap, what does that mean? Well, number one, it means that whether we like it or not, Todd, we're all media companies at this point. We are media companies. That's
right.
Number one.
Right.
Number two thing that it means to me is if we don't show it, whatever it is, it doesn't exist. For example, you can't tell me it's your people that make your company different. The reason why you can't just tell me that is because everybody in your industry also says, yeah, but it's our people that make us different. Are your people really better than everybody else's, by the way? And so if you really want that to be, quote, true, then you have to show it. If I come to your website right now, do I see your people? Do I hear them? And to know them. And if I don't, well, then they're no different than everybody else.
Right.
Your people are just like everybody else. So if we don't show it, it doesn't exist, which is a simple activity that anybody listening to this can do. consider all the claims that you make about your business right now, specifically the ones you make about yourself on your website. Okay, so all your claims. The first question you ask yourself about is, okay, so how many other companies also make these claims? And then number two is, of these claims, how many do we truly show before they've talked to a salesperson? In other words, on our digital properties, on our website. And usually the answer is astonishingly low.
Yeah, I think people are operating on a 1990s mindset where they actually think somebody's going to call their phone and they're going to be able to, and they don't want to lose control of the sales process. So the salespeople are still holding on to those answers to those frequently asked questions. And what ends up happening is people just bounce and go elsewhere where somebody's going to address those questions online. And sometimes they are changing, but the internal sales leadership in a company hasn't adapted with the changing times.
You said a great word there, man. Control. Mm-hmm. It's like the idea that any of us at this point control the sales process,
right,
is fundamentally laughable. It's gone.
Right.
I mean, the days are gone. Buyers control it. And so what we can do is we can meet them where they are. Simple. And so, for example, if a buyer says, I want to learn about this product or service through video, which is the majority at this point, well, then we have a choice. We meet them where we are or we don't. If buyer says, okay, I'd like to buy a pair of shoes, but I'd like to be able to send them back if they don't fit, well, then we have a choice. We can either say, I'm going to meet the buyer where they are, or we can lose our business to somebody that's willing to do the thing. That's the thing, guys. This keeps happening in multiple industries. Starts off that you've got the folks that have been there forever. They're the leaders, right? Then the next generation comes up, and you have a set of rule breakers.
Right.
And the rule breakers, everybody complains about them, but then they become the rule makers. And then everybody that was leading the previous generation, they become the rule followers. And this happens again and again and again. It's happening at a faster pace now because of the rate of change.
Okay, dude, I totally buy that. I'm a rule breaker, but not because I walk around trying to break rules. I'm just trying to get better results. And I think you and I have seen over our careers that when you are focused on the results and looking inside of the analytics where the answers always are, you can have a much better idea of what your target customer is asking for. And you can address it. And I think you see something very similar, Marcus. When a team uses video for sales, how does that change the game for their deals and their, you know, their cash flow and how quickly they educate people?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a big deal. And let me paint a quick picture for you. It used to be that we did not integrate video early into the sales process, and we dealt with a lot of uneducated buyers.
Right. Hey, are you talking pool day? Are you talking pool gig? Or are you talking?
Both.
Okay.
But specifically with pools, because that was really before I did any video at all. I was selling pools, and then so for years, Tom. Okay, I would knock on a door, say 5 o'clock at night, you know, for a sales appointment, and I would hear literally a kid in the background say, "Mom, Dad, pool guy's here," because of course the kid was excited. They knew who was coming that night. You know, their kid's excited to get it. We integrated video into the process. It shocked me the first time this happened, but I was knocking on the door one night for a sales call, and I heard a kid in the background say, "Mom, Dad, the guy on the video is here." And then, as I continued to integrate video into the sales process, I started to hear as I would knock on the door, "Mom, Dad, Marcus is here."
Yeah.
And that's when I knew that the sales appointment, the sales call, was going to be very, very different. You see, we're spending too much time in sales situations teaching, whereas video,
yeah,
great information, but video is the best teacher, but we've got to leverage it before we shake the person's hand. And furthermore, just to make one more point, you got to have three goals if you really want to just get this whole digital and visual age that we're in. You got to say to yourself, in terms of your sales philosophy with your organization, our prospects should hear us before we've ever heard them. They should see us before we've ever seen them. And they should know us before we have ever known them. And if those three things occur, you will have that magical thing that we call trust, and you're going to win. And that's what's possible through the power of grace.
You know what? You're speaking my language. Like, I'm jiving with what you said. About 3 years ago, I saw something that I've never seen before in my sales life. I sent somebody a series of videos, three videos before I showed up for the first meeting. When I sat down in the first meeting, their second question was about, hey, Todd, what are your contract terms like? And that told me, Marcus, that I pulled somebody without my time invested. I pulled them through a buyer's journey to now the point where I got to pass the sniff test. And, I've got to show up with a full set of teeth and look presentable, and they're ready to hand me the deal. And ultimately, I think we can agree, you tell me if I'm off track, that the whole purpose is to educate people faster, to do it with less of your time, and to show up and sign deals.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. The teaching happens on the front end before they meet the salesperson, and the selling should be happening once the salesperson is involved. We've got to get back to that. And if we do that, like you said, the average sales appointment goes down, the average sales cycle goes down, the average closing rates go up. I mean, the benefits just, they're really numberless. But it starts with this mindset of, okay, but we're a media company. And so that's what we do.
I think businesses have always been media companies. They just haven't acknowledged it. Like, they've had a member of their team that would, back in the day, do print or radio or television, which is a function of being what is today a modern media company, and that's just like the foundation. But now that we're not dependent on a news network or a newspaper to be our delivery mechanism, and now our delivery mechanism is like social or our own websites, then we're taking in the responsibility to be the publishing end of that media company on our own in order to execute so we could convince and convert. And it's interesting to watch the historical bias at play, because I'm sure you get pushback from senior executives when you're trying to show them the light, and they push back that they're not ready. Talk to me about getting buy-in. I noticed that as I'm watching your career evolve, you're taking on a very common topic of getting content marketing buy-in. Why are you addressing that head on?
Well, the reason for that, and thanks for noticing, is because it's the number one email that I've gotten over the course of 7 years, more so than even the one that says, hey, Marcus, my business is struggling. I need more traffic, leads, and sales. That's number two. Number one is, I'm frustrated, Marcus. I believe in this stuff. I believe in digital. I want to do these things. I want to tell our story and show our story. But the problem is, I get resistance everywhere I turn. And see, this person is usually a marketer or somebody that really just catches that vision. And so people started asking me early on, Marcus, it worked for you. I like the way you explain it. Can you come to my company and can you convince my team, specifically my sales team, to be a part of this journey of telling and showing our story better online? And so I saw it was a problem early, and I've thought about it a lot since. Really obsessed over it in many ways. Nothing happens unless you've got full buy-in across the board. This doesn't, you see, if digital and content and video is a program, it's born and then eventually it dies. But if it can turn into a culture, well, now this is something that's going to outlive all of us within the organization. It just goes and goes and goes. That's what cultures are. And that only happens when everybody shares a vision and is all in. It's a huge problem. And if you to do it the right way, the sales team has to be extremely involved in the content production process. And so if they're looking at the marketing department and saying, hey, that's your job, that's not my thing, and I don't have the time to help produce the video or that article, right, whatever that thing is, we got a problem. It's not going to work. It ain't going to fly. I'm going to tell you right now.
You know, at the core of the they ask, you answer philosophy is, I think is getting content marketing buy-in. And that's probably your biggest hurdle from the primary decision maker. And, you know, recognizing that it's the most common question that you're receiving, really the answer was found inside of your analytics, or it was found inside of being observant of questions that prospects keep, or even pain points that prospects keep raising to you. I noticed the same thing with our video marketing agency. The thing that I kept hearing was, yeah, Todd, but we need to prove out ROI before we can invest in video. And I heard it so many times, Marcus, which is just like what you went through with buy-in. So I created a video mini course on how to guarantee that your videos are going to generate ROI. And once I put that out there and started promoting it, I ended up 10Xing my engagement with target customers and brought them through a buyer's journey. And I know that with your book, which is an essential learning tool for your prospects. Hey, I heard a rumor. Can you tell me if this is true? Is it true that you're less likely or less interested in taking a new client if they haven't read your book?
Oh, that's a very strong rumor. In fact, I don't even want to play. Like, you see these patterns. You know this, Todd, right? If you're in business long enough, you start to quickly see the characteristics of those customers that are a great fit, that are great to work with, that get stuff done, that see the relationship as a partnership. And then there's the other ones that are just like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
You have to babysit them. They're really not all in. And I'm telling you, digital, you can't just dip your toes in the water and think you're going to go big. You just can't do it, right?
Right.
And so that's why it's not a big, it's like to ask somebody to read the book, if they don't have the time for that, trust me, they don't have time to win big, digitally speaking, online. It's not going to do it. So I'd just rather not play, because otherwise I'm going to take their money and they're not going to get results and they're still going to blame me. So if I'm going to take someone's money, and that's what sales is, let's be honest, you're taking someone's money, you're delivering a product or a service that should provide value. If something is missing there, it just shouldn't happen in the first place. And so it's a two-way street. Everything's a two-way street at this point. They have to do more than I have to do in order for them to get results, because they're the ones that are the subject matter experts. They're the ones that have to be on camera. They're the ones that have to really get their entire team engaged in this process. Now, I try and I facilitate and we teach and we train, but fundamentally, it's their responsibility. And so, heck yeah. They need to read the book, and they need to do more than that, because otherwise, it's not going. They're not going to win.
Okay, dude, I love this. I love this more than you know, because it's a lot like dating. You know, you mentioned that you have to understand what the other person's goals are, and if they're going to want this to be a relationship where you both work together, then you're going to create great outcomes. And if this is one of those relationships where you don't have the same intentions at the beginning, then the outcomes aren't going to be great. And so you're kind of setting it from the beginning and letting them know what your interests are and how they have to match that if you want to get great results. And you're using it to vet people also, which is really remarkable, dude.
Well, yeah, and it's like this mutual self-selection process, right? I always say that content, assuming it's honest and transparent, it's the greatest sales tool in the world, right? And it's because at this point, everybody wants to self-select in the sales process. They want to say, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, thus I'm a good fit, or no, not me, nope, not me, I'm out. And we want them to be able to say that before they've actually met us. And sometimes, sadly, they say that simply because they were uninformed, they were ignorant, and they were uninformed and ignorant because we didn't give them the information. Right. We didn't allow them to say, ah, now I understand. But if we do allow that, it allows them now to go through that self-selection process and to either swim down the sales funnel on their own without us dragging them, or they can opt out and just exit the sales funnel, at which point everybody has saved everybody's time. That's a win.
Yeah, to the audience, I hope what you're hearing here is you're recognizing that Marcus is using his content, doesn't matter what it is, if it's video or if it's blogs, or if it's a book, going old school, Marcus. Marcus is using the content to better vet his leads. So when they get in front of him, they can close deals at faster rates, but also live up to the big value proposition of being able to deliver on content marketing. Marcus, I'm noticing this 24-hour, or this 48-hour video with Marcus, where you follow him around. I'm noticing the Gary V, which might be the, you know, the seed in the soil that's sprouting some of these ideas. Do you agree with me that in the next 24 months, that most CEOs that are trying to develop thought leadership, that are trying to make a name for their business, but also connect it with a personality, are going to start using that kind of approach?
Oh, I clearly think that there's going to be a lot of CEOs that get over themselves and start embracing this visual storytelling, start recognizing that they need to put themselves out there a bit more because it's what the marketplace demands. It's not going to happen in every case, but I do think there needs to be a face of your organization or multiple faces. I do think absolutely that is the case.
Can I challenge you on something really quick?
Sure.
When you say CEOs getting over themselves, are you talking about the CEOs being insecure, or are you, and they don't want to be on video and they don't want to put themselves out there and put their life on display, or are you talking about them getting over themselves, thinking that they can operate in an old mindset with a modern business?
Yeah, a little bit of both. See, because the rate of change is so fast right now, what's happening is you have a lot of CEOs saying, well, I don't learn through video myself, thus why are we going to worry about this whole video thing? You got another set that says, well, I'm not very good on video, thus I'm not going to be on video.
Right.
And then it just goes down the list. And the problem is this: we should never allow our personal opinions to screw up smart business. Yet we do it all the time. You know, people say, I don't like Facebook, thus we're not going to do it. No, that's stupid. Because if your marketplace, if the buyers are found as Facebook, well, then it's certainly worthy of consideration. And so we can't allow that thing that we do to hinder our ability. And that's the big point here. And this goes back to that phrase they ask you answer, because it's not like, you know, I ask, thus I answer. It's what did they ask? And when I say they ask, it's like, what do they want? How do they want to buy? What is the sales process that they would prefer? What are the questions, worries, fears, issues, concerns that they have right now? And are we willing to meet those things where they are?
Well, he's Marcus Sheridan. He's a digital marketer. He's also a speaker like myself. He's the author of They Ask, You Answer, which is about the revolutionary approach to inbound sales, to content marketing, and today's digital consumer. You can always find Marcus at thesaleslion.com. And Marcus, before we say bye for now, I want to tell you a quick little story about how I ran into you, or how I first heard of you. Goes back to Jay Baer's book that came out. Utility. Yeah. So I was reading that and I was like, damn, these guys are like exactly what I've been preaching. This is great, right? And so I read that and I left it, and I went and did a business trip where clients had us come out to Scotland. And I brought our head of strategy, Marcus Krieg, with me. And listeners of this podcast, of course, know Marcus. And while we were in Scotland, Wirebuzz won 2 awards here in the greater Phoenix area for the Arizona Internet Marketing Association, Azima, something that makes up Azima. And so my wife went to the event, and so she texts me at 3 a.m. and she said, oh my God, we just won 2 awards. I had to go up and give a speech. And I said, oh, are you okay? Is everything, how are things going? It's like 3 a.m. in Scotland. And she goes, oh, it's great. I'm listening to Marcus speak right now. And I go, no, Marcus is with me in Scotland, right? Because there's only so many Marcuses out there. And she goes, no, he's, and apparently she read the Jay Baer book because I left it behind. And so she read the first chapter. When she showed up, she was like, damn, here's the guy I just read. So in our house, because we're digital marketing nerds, Marcus Sheridan is a household name, and that's how my wife and I found out about you.
That's funny, man. That's great. I remember that event, Azima's event. I remember because I was kind of a speaker MC that night, and that you all won some awards. So props to you for doing it right, man. I mean, this is what it's all about, right? And the proof's in the pudding. So yeah, it's been great chatting, and it's been a great ride for both of us. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Marcus, just between you and me and the listeners, if there's anybody whose career I enjoy watching and developing, it's yours the most because of the philosophy and how we share that, but most importantly, how we see it resonate with our target customers. And I want to congratulate you on the growth, your success, moving outside of your original career, which was, you know, the pool industry, using the philosophy of they ask, you answer, and then moving that into something bigger, which is helping businesses convince at faster rates and to better educate them to use the power of content marketing and inbound and video. So thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast. And for those of you that want to get access to the original interview, episode 24, wirebuzz.com/24, for the first conversation that Marcus and I shared. Marcus Sheridan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure, brother. Certainly appreciate it.
All right, dude. Continue success. I'm sure I'll see you on the speaking tour one of these days. All right. Well, that was Marcus Sheridan joining us live on the podcast. Very cool to be able to connect up with the Sales Lion. And for more information, go to thesaleslion.com to find out about Marcus Sheridan. And again, his book is They Ask, You Answer. And it's a revolutionary approach using content in the digital age to better educate, convince, convert your customer. Well, that was a lot of fun talking with Marcus, and I will make sure that if you want to get access to Marcus Sheridan information, I'll also put it on the show notes page for you. Hey, if you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, episode 101, just go to wirebuzz.com/101. All right, a super opportunity for us to check in with Marcus Sheridan. I hope you enjoyed that. Most importantly, I hope it helped you become a better digital marketer. Really, the answer to your career's problems, right, your business's problems that you're trying to solve, can be found in this interview. Go back, listen to it a couple of times. It's important that you understand that every time somebody approaches your business, they're looking to have questions answered. If they don't see those answers on your website, they're going to go somewhere else, and they're going to start reviewing your competitor. And with a vast majority of the sales process now happening before a salesperson is even brought in, you have to be really conscious about the way people are shopping on your website online. And when I say shopping, I'm not talking like Amazon shopping. I'm talking like researching. So think about how your target customer is researching you and your competitors. Look around. You know the questions that they're asking. They ask you every day. Write on a notepad. Here's your business takeaway. Put a yellow notepad. I prefer yellow, so do it my way, okay? I'm just kidding. So some notepad. Doesn't have to be yellow, but of course we know yellow's better. So on a yellow notepad, write down every frequently asked question that you get for a whole week. Write them down. Organize them. Organize them in early awareness stage, in consideration stage, and then final decision stage, right? They're different. There are different questions that need to be handled in a different way. But as you start to write down those questions and you drop them in the appropriate buckets, awareness, consideration, decision, what you're going to ultimately find is the next step from there is for you to write out a script for each one of those questions, how you want to handle it, right? And then film them talking to camera and address each one of those questions. Put it on the page with that script. Now you've got something that's educational. You know people will watch the video, move the video to the top of the page because people won't work their way down the page. You want to really prioritize it. People are four times more likely to watch that video than to read text. And make sure that those are all available on your website. And then here's the next piece to the puzzle. You make it available to people. And when you are in a conversation with a new prospect and they bring up one of those questions, answer it live with them. But when you get back to your desk or when you get to your cell phone, I want you to send them an email that says, hey, John, it was great meeting you earlier. You know, one of the questions that you asked was about how we use video, whatever it is, okay? You get the idea. And you then send a image with a thumbnail that's got a video play button on it, linked to the page on your website where that question is answered. So when you write back to John, you go, hey, John, I recognize you asked that question about fill in the blank. Here's a quick video where we already answer this. And I hope this helps you have a better understanding on that topic. What's going to happen is he's going to go, that prospect is going to go, damn, not only did they answer it in person, but they were so thorough, they followed up to help me better understand the right way to approach that question. And when you start to do that with a prospect, you start providing really good, compelling customer service. They know that you listen and that you do smart follow-up. And those are the kind of people that we all want to do business with, right? So make sure you're helping them through your sales process. And few people do it better or explain it in simpler terms than Marcus Sheridan. So it's a real honor to have him on the show once again. Hey, if you want to get access to the earlier interview we did with Marcus, go to wirebuzz.com/24. All right. It is just that easy. There's a whole nother interview of us talking maybe about a year ago about similar complementary topics, but not identical to the conversation you just heard. If this podcast was valuable to you, we can be found in three places: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Go up there and bang on that subscribe button, and we'll send you each and every new episode direct to your mobile device. And then the other thing I want you to do, and it's a big ask, but I'm going to need it from you: leave a really honest rating and review. Please do that. If I know what's working for you, if I know ways that I can improve, I could provide better information that'll help you be a smarter marketer. And ultimately, that's my goal. To get access to the show notes, remember wirebuzz.com/101, which is the number of Dalmatians that Cruella DeVille tried to steal. wirebuzz.com/101. Think Dalmatians and Cruella DeVille. All right, so that's the episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, I'm going to be going back out on the road. I'll be in Orlando this week, but I will be creating more podcasts so you can be educated along the way as I start to learn how video marketing is revolutionizing the way businesses convince and convert, right? It's just that easy. And the whole goal, well, the whole goal will always be the same. I want to make sure that I bring you the latest information. So stay tuned for the next episode where I'm going to break down the latest video marketing news and make sure as you listen to it, you start paying attention to the business takeaways. Those business takeaways are going to make you not only a better video marketing master, but a more profitable business person. All right, my friends, peace out. I'll talk to you soon. Hit me up with questions if you've got any. I do have questions in the can that those of you sent me while I was on vacation, and I'll be addressing them in coming episodes. Also, if you've got a topic you want to pitch, wirebuzz.com/pitch. If you want to get access to our mini course on how to guarantee your videos generate ROI, just go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. All right? Peace out. I'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful week.